standing up or yeah. sitting down.
Sorry to hear that.
Yeah.
You gonna go to the doctor?
I think I'll go this afternoon. Mm-hmm. I thought it would clear up by now. Mm-hmm. I thought I just bruised it. But I think something's cracked or something.
No.
Anyhow, go ahead.
Back to the airborne.
Right.
So, well, not necessarily airborne.
So I spent 17, 18 years in the military altogether. Mm-hmm. And I was 2 years in the military before I went to airborne. So I joined in 66, and I lasted till 82, 83. So, now, what else did you want to know about the North?
About the North.
Or about any other place?
Oh,
in connection with the airborne.
With the airborne. Well, mainly, so you were done with the military in general in 82, and my paper was originally, or my study was originally just supposed to be about Somalia.
Somalia.
Mm-hmm. But that didn't really pan through, so we're kind of doing all different aspects of the airborne. But because it was sort of a more recent part of Canadian military history with that incident, with huge relation to the Canadian Airborne Regiment, I like to try to get sort of opinions on people who've been in the airborne, who heard about that, because with my two interviews so far, I've got completely different sort of aspects on the opinion.
Really?
With Kyle Brown and Matchy and all those ones and different opinions. So what were your first...
What were their opinions?
I had one say that he thought that Kyle Brown was just used as a scapegoat and didn't and had met him before. He's met him and knew him and said that he was just a nice kid and was kind of shocked that he kind of used him like that. Didn't really think it was fair. Thought that one of the lieutenants or their commanding lieutenant who was there was just useless. And actually, my other guy said that as well. That this one kind of man who was head, who was the head guy there, I can never pronounce it. I believe it's Edward Matthew or like M-A-T-H-I-E-U. Mm-hmm. That he just kind of was more or less useless there, kind of just in way over his head. And then one thought that, you know, Kyle Brown got parole after 20 months and was originally sentenced to 5 years, and they thought that he didn't really serve enough time. So two kind of different views. So what are your views? When you first heard about Somalia and the incident there, what were your sort of first thoughts?
Well, maybe you can help my memory, but I understand there was a corporal
mm-hmm.
who actually killed this man
mm-hmm.
while he was their prisoner.
Yeah.
And working with him was a private?
Yeah, it was Private Kyle Brown.
Yeah. And that... You say there was a lieutenant who was in charge of the corporal.
Yeah. And he got acquitted twice. He went to trial, too.
Yeah.
But he got acquitted twice for it, which is what happened there. Lieutenant Colonel Matthew was tried twice. He was tried twice, but he got acquitted both times. That was the commanding officer of the airborne at the time.
Lieutenant Colonel.
Lieutenant Colonel Matthew,
yeah.
Who was the commanding officer of the airborne at the time with them, was acquitted twice. So yeah, what happened was Kyle Brown and Master Corporal Clayton Matchy took this young Somalian who was 16 years old. He'd been in the camp, I believe, because they had a lot of problems with the locals coming in and stealing equipment and everything like that, and they did need to sort of reinforce their boundaries, but they brought him in and they, you know, tortured him and they ended up murdering him. He ended up dying. And they have sort of pictures of it and trophy pictures. And it ended up being found out. And the Master Corporal attempted to... He hung himself 3 days later in one of the tents, but didn't succeed in his own suicide and had enough brain damage that he didn't have to go to trial. But Kyle Brown did. and he was sentenced to 5 years in jail. And then from there, you know, later on in the kind of next 6 years, with the changes of the government and everything coming through and the different sort of people involved, the Airborne was eventually disbanded. Do you have, is it a portable phone or is
you
it
can,
on a hook?
You can lift it.
Okay. Do you want me to help grab it? No.
As long as I get there before it stops.
Okay.
What do I think of it?
Mm-hmm.
Well, when I heard about the results of it, that the Prime Minister used that as an excuse for disbanding the Airborne. I was horrified and wrote it off as, you know,
bad government.
Typical cretin decision of our intelligent Prime Minister. But also, I think part of it would have been from he was able to use the military's attitude to the Airborne, which was negative, especially among the Francophones.
Why?
I don't know if you've got into this, but within the Canadian military, the Francophones are almost a military unto themselves.
Okay.
Whereas the average Anglo, let's say average Anglo, has, say, a 60% chance of promotion. The average Franco would have a 80% chance of being promoted.
Okay.
If you look at the... No. Francos make up... I was in recruiting for a while. So I know what that's where I went as a selection officer.
Mm-hmm.
The Francos, what, in our Canadian population, make up what percentage of the population? I was going to say, if you're lucky, 25%.
Yeah.
26% at the most. Now that's a Francophone. Mm-hmm. And in recruiting, it was either Franco or Anglo, whether it was New Brunswick or Gaspé or Winnipeg.
Mm-hmm.
Franco or Anglo. And the big push was to recruit Francos, because we didn't want Quebec to separate.
Yeah.
And Trudeau tried to move it from a province leaving to a Franco-Anglo division of the people, to get away from the provincial division.
Mm-hmm.
And using Franco-Anglo, he was able to spread the thing right throughout Canada, because he knew that Francos in other provinces were in favor of Canada,
mm-hmm.
not Quebec, as such. okay, the military was the darling of the new bilingualism versus Franco-Quebec,
mm-hmm.
or separatist Quebec.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so Franco's in the military got preferential treatment right from the start.
Okay.
Now, it's significant that although these senior officers, the lieutenant colonel, who should have got the axe,
mm-hmm.
is a Franco.
Mm-hmm. No, it's not up yet.
So this is a different slant on things.
Yeah.
It may not be the deciding factor. If they could have presented it to the Prime Minister,
mm-hmm.
the federal government, as a Franco-Anglo problem, it wouldn't have happened. But the Airborne Regiment was obviously Franco is dominated by the Anglo. Was dominated by Anglos.
Mm-hmm.
And so they came across to him as a bunch of violent anti-pacifist
mm-hmm.
Anglos.
Okay. Interesting. Yeah, no one's kind of really brought that up yet, but...
It's very complicated.
Yeah. I've had them talk to me about sort of the Anglo and the Franco sort of divides, but nothing in that aspect. So even after, so it's being disbanded, that's done. Are you still proud that you served as a Canadian Airborne?
Oh yeah.
Yeah. That'll never go away. Do you think any of it did go away for some men after it was disbanded? Do you think some felt a little bit ashamed or?
No.
Still proud.
Very proud.
Good.
And those that I met who were in Africa are still proud
mm-hmm.
of the work they did there.
Yeah.
And to label what, you know, 1,000 men did
mm-hmm.
by what 2 men did is simply unacceptable.
Mm-hmm.
2 or 3 men.
Yeah.
And if their lieutenant colonel gave them the idea that they could torture people, and that's entirely possible, it sounds like,
Well, that was just situations.
Yeah.
Are you proud of where the Canadian military is today in 2008?
Yeah, I'm proud of what the Canadian military is doing.
Mm-hmm.
Has done. I'm less proud of the federal government.
Yeah.
And what they've got us involved in.
Mm-hmm.
Who knows?
Yeah, between the reputation of it's gone back up, of the Canadian military, it's kind of went down a little in the 90s. Nothing was really happening. This kind of gave it a bad look, but then now... Unfortunately, the Canadian military is being used more. We could say it's got a lot more attention just because of its involvement in the Middle East, but
mm-hmm.
it's kind of going up.
Do you think so?
Do I think so? I don't know. I think now I know a lot more people who know people who are involved within the Canadian military. Or have done cadets when they were younger, or something like that, instead of not talking about it, now seem to be a lot more forward about being like, well, I was in cadets, and I did this, and I've kind of have this sort of mild experience. You know, I'm finding that a lot more, which is interesting.
Mm.
It's kind of interesting how it goes in the cycles like that. And you don't have any, none of your children were, your one son was involved in the Air Force, correct? When he passed. And then that was the only one who was involved?
Well, they were all in cadets for a while.
Oh, were they?
Oh, yeah.
Even your daughter?
Yeah, yeah.
Was that sort of military aspect? Was that something that you were kind of proud to see them do or kind of talk to them about, or they kind of did it by themselves?
They did it by themselves.
Yeah.
That was probably.
That's good.
Yeah. Went out to all their dues.
Mm-hmm. Good kids.
Sure. Yeah.
Are you glad you're kind of still involved and get to go to the reunions a lot still and see those kind of men?
I still go to the airborne reunions, yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Are there a lot of airborne in Victoria?
There's a few.
Yeah. Kyle, the man, or the private who was involved in Somalia, he lived in Victoria for a while after he got out.
Mm-hmm.
And he got a tattoo of, like, the Commando 2 sign on his back at a tattoo studio in Victoria. And then one of the other men I interviewed has the same tattoo and got it done by the same guy. So,
oh, I see.
I think Kyle went back to Edmonton.
Yeah.
I think I'm pretty sure that's where he was born. Because I'm, you know, most of the books that come out now about it, about the small incident, are very much kind of about kind of what happened in the Inquirer. And then I'm reading one, which is called Scapegoat. And it's all about, like, kind of his life and what happened. So it's interesting to get the perspective, but...
Mm.
I guess an innocent life lost in that sort of situation is, it's hard to take.
It is. Yeah, when my son died, it really hurt.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, that's him in that picture there.
Oh, really? And it was, he was in the Air Force?
Yeah.
And it was during a...
It was his last year at military college, and 3 days before he graduated, the commander called him in and said, you're not going to graduate. You haven't got enough credits.
Mm.
3 days before graduation.
Yeah, that doesn't make sense.
That was on the Monday. On the previous Friday, he had gone to the banquet, and he had provided entertainment for all the graduates by mimicking the commander.
Okay.
That's why the commander decided he wasn't
going to graduate.
So he had to spend, he was ordered to spend another 6 months catching up at Queen's, not at the military college.
At Queen's University?
Yeah.
Okay.
Catching up credits. So a month later, he went to Trenton. Well, not a month later, but within a week, he was sent to Trenton to do some summer training. While in Trenton, he wanted to expand his lungs, so he was swimming underwater in the supervised pool. Two girls were lifeguards. They were only 15. And he drowned. He passed out underwater, and they didn't see him.
I'm so sorry to hear
that.
They
were chatting to boys. But I didn't find this out until 2 years later. We kept asking. We were back. We went to Australia that summer because my oldest son was rowing.
Oh, yeah.
And when we came back in October, we went to Trenton. We talked to the girls, we talked to the firemen, and they told us, the girls, for example, said they were only 15 when it happened, and we still had no official report.
Oh, okay. From the military?
From the military. And we went to see the base commander, and he didn't have time to see us. And so this was October. He died in July the 16th. October, November, December. So finally, I went to my member of parliament. I said, look, we want to find out, why did he die in a supervised pool? Did he drown? Why? And the member of parliament went to the military commander in Ottawa. And in March, we were sent a draft copy of the summary investigation. So that's what it was. It was just a summary investigation of what. It wasn't a board of inquiry. I guess he didn't merit that. And it raised awful questions about the age of the kids, the time it took the fire department to get there, to apply, you know. And so I raised all these things, objections. And a year and a half later, they had a board of inquiry on the base as to why he drowned. There were three senior officers and a fourth commanding general for this board. The commander was a Francophone.
Mm-hmm.
The base commander had been a Francophone.
Okay.
And the two girls were Francophones.
Yeah.
So anyhow.
I'm just very sorry to hear that.
It was not just the drowning. It was why he drowned.
Mm-hmm.
And how they covered it.
Yeah.
Afterwards. It was terrible. I've still got the findings of the Board of Inquiry, that thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a mess. It's a mess. Even the inquiry is a mess.
Yeah. So
it really put me off.
Fair enough.
Not just the death, you know.
Mm-hmm.
People dying all the time and bombs blowing them up.
No answers given.
Yeah. That's a negative thing about the Canadian military, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Is the cover-ups?
The cover-ups, the administrative boondoggles, the desire to cover each other.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it isn't a well-run organization. I guess it's because they're run by civil servants.
Okay.
There's this Franco-Anglo thing where people are promoted because of their, whether they are Francos or not.
Mm-hmm.
And you get a lot of them compliments at the higher places.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's what you'll find in that too.
Yeah.
In Somalia.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. So, to move at Ford and be in an administrative role within the Canadian military, do you have to have served as a private or a lieutenant or anything? It's just sort of a...
Not as a private.
No.
But you could be in an administrative role without having background in action.
Okay.
In an active role.
It okay.
could be administratively all the way up.
Hmm. Okay. I didn't know that.
It could be who you know.
Yeah.
That kind of rubbish.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for giving me an interview.
Nicola, I'm sorry. I wish it was more positive, but...
It's great. You've given me so much fantastic information and all. Everything you've emailed me, it's been really fantastic.
Good.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
On behalf of University of Victoria and myself.
University of Victoria, eh?
Mm-hmm.
doing it.